Well, hey, good morning, church family. Come on, can we celebrate our moms today? Come on, they're worthy. You know, I just want to pause for a second and just speak to all the ladies, the moms. I just want you to know how much you are loved. Hopefully today is just a small reminder of how valuable you are to our families, the impact that you have. In the midst of the sleepless nights, in the midst of all the exhaustion and the loving and the caring, I want you to know how impactful you are in your family. In fact, half of the reason I am standing before you today is because I had an amazing, caring, guiding, loving mom. And so shout out to you, mom. Happy Mother's Day. I love you. And you know, every single day I get to see the impact of a mom. We have four kids. My wife Ashley is their mom. And every day she's more than a mom, right? Every day she's their teacher. She's oftentimes their nurse and their doctor. She's their guidance counselor. She's constantly with them, caring for them, loving them, shaping and molding them to look more like Jesus. And so, you know, in the journey of being a parent or being around kids, you have to sometimes, when they're young, tell them what to do and what not to do. You're constantly teaching them so they can make decisions on their own. But we all know in the journey of parenting, there comes that moment where your children say the words that you dread, where they look at you with bold eyes and they say, "No." Wait, what did you just say? I can remember it for all of my kids. You know, these sweet, innocent kids are sitting in the high chair and Ashley's usually saying, "Eat your broccoli or eat your green beans or eat your peas." And usually they look at you, they hold it in their hand and they say no as they throw it across the room. And when that moment happens, do you know what is introduced into that relationship? Conflict. We've all been there. You don't have to be a parent today to know that in all of our relationships, we experience conflict. In fact, when was the last time you endured conflict in your relationships? Some of you might giggle because it might have been on the way to one of our campuses this morning. For some of you, it was when your boyfriend or girlfriend texted that person who you told them not to. Or when you told your kids to turn off that TV show, or your roommate didn't pay the rent on time, or when you were told you can't see your grandkids on Christmas, or your coworker gossiped about you, or your boss took credit for something that you did, or when your ex made up ridiculous claims in the divorce proceedings, or when you told your teenager they couldn't date that boy or girl. You see, all of those circumstances, relationally, they introduce conflict into our lives. And the reality of conflict in our relationships is we all experience conflict in our lives. It doesn't matter how nice you are. It doesn't matter how well you appease everybody around you. It doesn't matter how hard you try to avoid it. Conflict is a reality for all of us relationally. But there's something that I think we have to understand about conflict. In our relationships, conflict is not the problem. Let me repeat myself so we understand what I'm saying. In our relationships, the ones that are good and bad, conflict is not the problem. It's how we navigate and respond to it. If you got your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, we're gonna be in two places in God's word today. We're gonna start in Ephesians chapter 4, and then we're gonna go to Matthew chapter 7. And as you kind of make your way there in your Bible, you go into the Northridge Church note to take notes this morning, let me just kind of catch everybody up to where we've been. If you're a guest with us, maybe coming with mom to church, it's amazing how every Mother's Day, mom's still dragging their kids to church, right? And so if you're a guest, welcome to the family, welcome home. We hope you feel that family vibe here at Northridge Church. And over the last couple weeks, we've started this series called By Design. And in this series, we're just kind of looking at all the relationships that we have. And yet so many of us in our relationships are wondering, like, why are they so messy? Why are they so painful? Why are they failing? And so this series is all teaching us how God designed us to live in healthy and lasting relationships. And in week one, we built the foundation, right? Our calling as Christ followers in all of our relationships is just to love like Christ loved. It's not to change anybody, but it's just to show them love. And week two, off that foundation, we talked about listening, how we show love as we listen in our relationships, and how if we became good listeners, it would probably change the trajectory of our relationships. But this morning, we're going to talk about maybe the most prevalent thing in all of our relationships, conflict. In fact, conflict is so prevalent, we're going to take 2 weeks to nuance it, to look at both sides of conflict when it's introduced into our relationships. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is not talking to the church in Ephesus specifically about conflict, but he's talking about some of the emotions and the things that we choose in the midst of the conflict that we experience. Look what he says. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed from the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So here Paul talks about many emotions and actions that we choose in the midst of conflict. And I love where Paul begins. He says, in your anger. Right? And that's something that we often feel in the midst of conflict, isn't it? We become frustrated, and out of our frustration, we become angry. And he says, in your anger, do not sin. So we have a choice. In the midst of our conflict, conflict is not the problem. He's saying how we respond, what we choose in it, is ultimately the problem. And the truth about conflict in all of our relationships is it offers you two paths. The first path is the path of destruction. Now, rightfully so, no one in the relationships is like, you know what I'm gonna take? I'm gonna take the path of destruction. That sounds really good. But the truth about this path is this is well disguised. It's the easier path. It's the path of least resistance. And honestly, it's the path that we naturally lean towards. But it's the path that will cost us the most. And Paul warns us. He says, when you're on this path, right, your conflict often looks like this: bitterness, fighting, brawling, allowing the devil in, malice, rage. In your conflict, it usually leads to the raising of your voices, yelling and screaming at each other. It leads to gossip about the other person. It leads to tell lies to make your side of the story look better. It leads to physical violence, pain, hurt, and ultimately destruction. And at some level, when conflict comes into our relationships, we have a choice. In the midst of that conflict with whoever it is, I have a choice. Do I want to look more like Jesus in this conflict, or do I want to look more like the devil? And I know that feels extreme, but look how Paul warns you. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And he says, do not give the devil a foothold. Right? He says, be careful, because the devil specializes in taking small sparks and turning them into forest fires. I'm gonna come for a second and just evaluate some of your relationships, right? How many of your relationships have ended over things that should have been resolved? How many of our relationships have ended over a fight over a dog, toothpaste, how to run the dishwasher, how much sex we should have, whether you should have bought that thing or not, gossip, or your boss giving a promotion to someone else, and the list goes on and on. Things in relationships that could have been resolved, and yet we chose the path of destruction. Honestly, too many of us, as Christ followers, are taking the easy path, the path of least resistance, the path that ultimately costs us more than we want. But what I love about Paul is he says, there's a different option. In your conflict that we all experience, he says, I would tell you to choose the path of restoration, right? This is the harder path. I'm not gonna lie to you. This is the path with a lot of bumps along the journey. It's a hard and difficult grind, but this path leads to growth. growth of you as an individual, growth of the other person, and ultimately growth of that relationship. Look what Paul says. He says, in order to take this path, you're gonna have to let go of some things. He says, you're gonna have to get rid of bitterness. You're gonna have to get rid of rage and anger. You're gonna have to get rid of brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Paul says, when you get rid of those things, guess what you can do? You can choose something else. You can go on a different path. He says, you can be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So then this path leads to something completely different. But in order to take it, you have to let go of some things. That bitterness that you've been holding on for so long, that pain that you can't get over, you have to learn to let go of those things. And at some level, I think when conflict is in our lives, we fail to realize that God uses conflict in our lives. That God uses conflict to sanctify us, to make us look more like Jesus. See, that's ultimately what sanctify means. It's a churchy word that literally means you're gonna become a better follower of Jesus through conflict, through hardship, that you're gonna look more like Jesus. And at some level in our relationships, I think we have to get to this conclusion that our relationships, the ones that we have in our life, aren't just there for our own happiness, but at some level, they're there for our own holiness. God uses conflict in your relationships to mold you, to stretch you, and to reveal sin that you can't see. God uses them in our lives. But at some level, I think we have to step back even farther. You know, when we think about all the relationships that we have, from our coworkers to our boss to our roommates to our family and our marriages and our kids, have you ever wondered, like, in all my relationships, what is the goal? What am I trying to achieve? Like, when conflict arises in my marriage or in my workplace, what am I trying to get to in the midst of that conflict? Well, Paul teaches us in Romans, he says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, here's the goal. Live at peace with everyone. You see, what God desires for you in all of your relationships is that you would choose to live at peace, Paul says, with everyone. Now, I love the honesty Paul shares. He says, if it's possible, right? There are some relationships, although I think it's rare, so don't use this as a crutch, but there are some relationships you can do everything possible for peace and still not achieve it. So he gives you that caveat, but I would say those are the rare occasions. Those are the oddballs. He says, we're chasing after peace. And peace doesn't mean that we always agree. Peace in our relationships doesn't mean we just become all the same person looking the same direction. We can actually, believe it or not, have peace in a relationship and see things differently. To have different perspectives. But what's interesting is Paul teaches us something fundamental that I think we often miss. He teaches us when conflict arises, the first place to go to. In fact, let's read that passage again. He says, if it is possible, here's the line that we don't like. As far as it depends on you. Right? You see, what happens is when conflict arises in our relationships, we have this question, right? Like, okay, what do I do? What's the first step I take? How do I handle this conflict in my relationships? What do I do? And Paul tells you. He says, in conflict, when you have conflict in your relationships, the first person you should address is you. Now, what's real is, like, that's the last person we address, isn't it? It's a whole lot more fun to point out somebody else's problem than look at your own. And yet, this is exactly what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 7. He tells a story. He says, why do you look at a speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. Listen to this word. Why don't we all say it together? First. One more time. One, two, three. First, take the plank out of your own eye. And then you will see more clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I love this story Jesus tells, and it's exaggerated. It's almost comical because Jesus says, why would somebody look at a small speck in somebody else's eye when there's a giant 2x4 in their own eye? Right? Like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, go home and try to put a 2x4 in your eye. It doesn't work. And let's be honest, we don't want it to work. That's how exaggerated Jesus' story is. But the point he's trying to make is when you have something in your eye, we've all experienced this, right? We've all had something in our eye. It doesn't take something big to ruin your vision. It's often very small. In fact, I love to work with wood. My wife constantly has me working with wood, building something and doing something. And so every once in a while, I'll go to my saw, my chop saw, and I can hear my wife's voice in the back of my ear, Drew, put your safety goggles on. Drew, put your safety glasses on. And don't tell her, I never do. I never put them on. And so every once in a while, I will be cutting with my saw and sawdust will fly in the air and this little bitty speck of sawdust gets in my eye. And it's a horrible experience. We've all been there. What happens? The right eye starts to weep and cry. And for some reason, the left eye just decides to do the same thing. And I'm like bawling, snotting in the middle of trying to figure out this project. And I can't see anything. And that's the point Jesus is trying to make. How can we look at somebody else's stuff when we are blinded by our own stuff? Too many of us are so busy in the midst of conflict, focusing on somebody else's junk, we can't even see our own. It's so hard to see your issues when you're glaring at somebody else's. In fact, here's how I believe we want Matthew 7 to read. Here's what we believe Jesus should have said. Matthew chapter 7, the sinner's version. It says, go and remove the log in your brother's eye because it's clear that he is blind. But make sure you do this quickly before he has a chance to evaluate your log and use the information against you. That's how we, in our lives and in our actions, translate Matthew chapter 7. Because it's way more fun to call out somebody else's problem than your own. And we wonder why so many of our relationships are failing, are painful. Because we've never stopped and just said, you know what, the first place I gotta look is in the mirror. And at some level, this is hard. And almost impossible because we've gotten so good at calling out everybody else's problems, we can't even anymore see our own problems. So when we go to address ourselves, we're like, oh, I've done that. I feel good. I did everything perfectly in this relationship. But I think this is where our relationship with God and others comes in. In fact, here's one of my challenges for you. The next time you experience relational conflict, or actually some of you might be in the middle of it right now, when you go home today, or the next time you experience it, just simply say this to God. God, help me see what I am not seeing. God, help me to see the things that I am blind to, or I become blind to. God, help me to understand that I'm part of this problem. In fact, I love what David says. Psalms 139, David says to God, search me. Now, it doesn't read search them. He says to God, search me. Search me, God, and know my heart. Because the reality of your life is sometimes you can even convince yourself that you're good. Right? He says, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. And here's the request that we want God to reveal to us. God, see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. And here's why I think we pray this prayer to God. Because we can fool ourselves. We can even fool our friends. But you cannot fool God. He knows the depths of your heart. And so when you have conflict, when it arises in your relationships, I promise it will. The first person you address, the first person you look at is yourself. Can you imagine what our relationships would look like if we did this? If we stopped glaring at them and start looking at ourselves? And so here's my challenge. When you have conflict in your life, ask the question, am I here to win an argument or am I here to glorify God? Right? You ask yourself that. And out of that, you take a posture of humility. You address yourself first. You ask yourself the question, how did I contribute to this? At some level, you got to come to the conclusion that in almost every conflict that you have, you are 100% of the problem and they are 100% of the problem. You both played a role in it. And so we ask, man, how did I hurt them? How did I contribute to this conflict? And ultimately, we remember that Jesus absorbed our worst offenses. And because he did that, we can forgive them. So we look at ourselves first. The great news is, next week, we're gonna talk about how we go to somebody after we looked at ourselves. I know everybody's waiting for that week. Ooh, yeah, baby. I need to have a conversation. But maybe the first conversation you need to have is between you and God. And one of the hardest parts of this journey is forgiveness. Because in relationships, there's some really painful stuff. There's hurt. And it's hard. It's hard in our marriages and in our coworkers and with our roommates. When we've been hurt, it's really hard to navigate conflict. And at some level, we have to get our eyes off of our circumstances and we have to get our eyes to Jesus. And Paul does that for us. Look what he says. He says, choose kindness. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other. How can we do that? Just as in Christ, God forgave you. See, what Paul does for us is something so significant. He takes our eyes off the conflict and he gets our eyes on the cross. And sometimes in the midst of your conflict, you gotta stop looking at the pain and the hardship and the difficulty, and you have to get your eyes on Jesus. Because when your eyes are on Jesus, you remember that you were at once in conflict with God, relationally. Our sin separated us from a holy God, and there was nothing that we could do to get back to him. No amount of goodness, no amount of saying sorry that would fix the problem that we created. And yet God loved us enough to come and to forgive us. But his forgiveness came at a high cost. His blood would have to be shed and his body would be broken, where he went to a cross and he wore our shame. He wore our guilt. He took on our punishment in our place to forgive us so that we could get back to God, so that we could have a relationship with him. And when we have our eyes there, it means we can forgive others who have hurt us. It means in the midst of when we want to be angry and frustrated, we can choose kindness and compassion. So this morning, we're going to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. We're going to remember the cost of his blood and his body that was broken to forgive us in our relational conflict. So our band's going to come and they're going to lead us in worship. There's a couple things I want us to understand about communion, the Lord's Supper, remembering. The first thing is this is for followers of Jesus. This is for someone who has placed their faith in Jesus' cross and his resurrection. You're part of the family of God. But the thing that I want to highlight the most is there's a warning in Scripture that tells us if we have in our life deep relational conflict, that maybe we should withhold from taking the Lord's Supper. And in that, this remembrance is, man, maybe I need to go and make a phone call. Maybe I need to have a conversation with someone. Maybe I need to offer that forgiveness that Christ has given me. And so I don't know where you are in your life and your relationships, but if you have deep relational conflict right now, maybe God is telling you to remember him in a different way. By not participating in communion, but by chasing after that relationship. That's how important relationships are to God. And so as our band sings this song, I'd encourage you just to reflect, to sing with them, but to remember the cost Jesus took to forgive us. And so at all of our locations, would you just stand with me? as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper and we worship.